Action Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Deborah Deal.
And we are from the Bahamian Contractors Association, and this is the show sponsored by Bahamian Contractors Association, hoping to advance the cause of construction, educate our consumers, and generally talk about things in construction. So there are times when persons do not understand what we're about. We're about construction in the Bahamas. And talking about anything you'd like to about construction. Today we're going to go in an open field area. Today is Q&A.
Okay.
That means the first thing we're going to do is let's give out the numbers. The numbers you can call is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and from the Family Islands, 300-5720. And if you got a cell phone, which almost everyone in the country has, you could text us using BTC Power text line 422-4796
and join in the conversation. Some people have 2 and 3 cell phones. There you go.
Exactly. So One of the things I wanted to open up this conversation that's open to the public about construction is really posing the question for the general audience, how important is construction to you? Now, that's a broad question, and why I place it broadly is because I want everyone to be able to consider what that means to them.
I have an example.
Yeah, give me an example.
What does it mean to me?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you?
Well, I am sick and tired of these roads that are so bad, and that's part of the construction industry, redoing those roads. They are a hot mess. You can't keep patching. The road I went through... You know when you're coming from Blue Hill Road and you take that little juk-juk that takes you by the new Checkers?
Yes.
And then you take the
yes.
other road going further down?
Mm-hmm.
That road is
terrible.
I don't think the minister has gone down that road like ever.
Wow.
So that's one.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
If I were to say, what does construction mean to me? Construction means to me, it is an expression of higher level artistic ability, learn processes in the space that evidences human existence on this planet,
mm-hmm.
a way of life
yep.
for many persons who have been afforded a great means of making money, and an expression of an art form that can only be categorized as something magical when it's happening and you see it and you watch it. So construction could take on, you know, what it means to everyone could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I posed the question. To a young individual who I'm training on the project that I'm at, he's kind of like just coming out of a space where he's a site foreman now moving into the management space. And he's learning that every time he learns something, he knows absolutely nothing at all. And that's construction.
Right.
Because he's been in the space for a number of years doing interior work, like what you're now doing, mm-hmm. you've never been on a site where you saw someone cut a foundation. He's never seen someone put down steel.
Okay, so he didn't really start. If you start out, which is generally what most people do,
then you end up in.
He
started in condo business, which was already erected. So when he comes to the site, it was already there.
Yeah.
So I said, now imagine if it's not there. How do you get this to start?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because when you build from scratch, you really do learn which parts of the industry that you really like the best.
Yes.
Like, what do you love doing the best, you know?
He's never witnessed someone laying out the building. Because the building's always erected by the time he takes notice of it, because he knows he's working inside the condo. He's never seen roughing plumbing in the ground.
Wow.
He's seen them through floor to floor, which is happening through a core slab. He's never seen roughing the ground, backfilling. He doesn't know why you'd call a Bobcat to the site. He don't know why you'd spray it with termite treatment.
Wow.
None of it. Never witnessed it. So that's... And I chuckle because it's interesting that from his learning point, there's so much he haven't seen. And from even our learning points, there's still so much we haven't seen.
Absolutely.
And that's the scale of it.
New technology.
Yeah, that's the scale of it. Mm-hmm. That's the scale of it. But even here in the Bahamas, and I find interesting, and I spend a lot of time on Facebook, and you're aware of this, Debbie, mm-hmm. and a lot of people comment on things what they see generally about construction, right?
Because
construction is easy to look at it and make a determination of things. One of the things, though, I want people to be aware of when you look at things, you should first ask, is what I'm looking at right or wrong for us?
Mm-hmm.
Not assume that it is because it's something that you haven't seen.
Right.
So one of my high school friends, and I'm going to call a name, and name of Lincoln Bain, had a great video this week. Yeah, we went to high school together.
I don't call the name, though.
Oh, I'm telling you before, that class we had in Prince William was a rock star class.
Oh,
myself,
wow.
Lincoln Bain, Randy Roll, I'm telling you, we had quite, that class was very interesting. So he made a comment about some construction he see going on, and he made some comments about who was doing it. That's not what I took exception to. I took exception to he saw something which was untypical.
Right.
You would know this is typical to us if you have it called for in your drawings. Yeah. So he saw a footing slab with steel coming out of it every probably 16 inches or so.
Right.
And
so he's going to lay the blocks and pour them solid.
Right. Mm-hmm. He thought that was not something that was right.
Oh.
And so I chuckled when I said, yeah, that's a system that can be used.
Mm-hmm.
If you decided you didn't want to put stationary columns, you could do the whole thing as a monolithic reinforced concrete structure. Where you're coming straight out of the footing with the rebar straight around the whole thing.
Even if you do a job and your foundation has to be higher, like say you were down everything at 2 feet, and all of, if you have to go to four and above, you have no choice.
With the coming to ground.
Because that's code.
With the rebar,
but a lot of people wouldn't know that's code unless you've had to do one of those projects.
Unless you had to do one of those projects.
Honest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, and it's just interesting because we see what we see.
Right.
Right? And then we take in all the information and we think only because we've seen it, that's the only type of construction that exists.
Right.
I often told people that when I was in Abaco doing projects, every project we did not have intermediate columns anywhere. The whole thing was rebar and block, grout filled, bond beam. The whole project. We never did any project where we had
for me that would be work, extra hurricane strength
exactly.
as well.
No project we did at the Winding Club, Winding Bay Abaco Club had
smart.
Intermediate or corner columns. The whole thing was out of the ground, block work, rebar number five, every other block hole.
That's
a lot of rebar.
Yeah.
And then pumped with concrete as you go up the whole thing and capped off with a bond beam at the top.
Yeah, it was so much fun before pumps.
Well, of course, we had a...
No, pump. It wasn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. Because other than that, that's a lot of concrete and buckets. But
I know.
So we're pumping everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you do it, though, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But
satisfying.
You got a very strong, strong product there. So there are things that you may not be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good learning place for you to learn some things and find out something new about construction. But
there's one thing
that's
interesting. There's one thing I wish persons would do, like, I guess, us persons.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're building your foundation and you do something like that and you're up to that point, and I believe that everybody should black seal
the outside,
the inside of the walls, mm-hmm. to make sure that you're not going to get moisture going into the building, mm-hmm. causing your paint to peel off, causing mm-hmm. mold and mildew and that kind of stuff. And most builders don't do that.
Out and in is great, mm-hmm. but if you could keep it out, that works just as well. Mm-hmm. If you keep it out. However, part of the challenges we have in construction, and then I really wanted to focus on this part of the conversation.
Okay.
Because I know this is where we disconnect with the consumer. There is a cost to everything. Mm-hmm. You could get anything you want if you're prepared to pay for it.
Correct.
And we were having a conversation just last week. My home doesn't have the windows your home has, right? And your home has the windows that you wanted because you know the protection you get with them. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between the cost of your windows and my windows and someone else's windows.
Correct.
Because they all deliver different values to the consumer.
Correct.
So when you're comparing and what the marketplace continue to do, oh, I see that house going up there. I want my house just like that, but I could build it a lot cheaper. Not if you're using the exact same things.
Yeah.
There's no way to get the exact same thing that Debbie has, mm-hmm. way too cheaper than that, mm-hmm. because what is the element that you're going to reduce mm-hmm. to get at the same price? So you go to Stormframe, and they're one of our good partners in Swansea, and mm-hmm. they said a window costs $4,000, and it provides argon air filled, 200 mile per hour hurricane resistant. It is this. And you say, okay, I want the same window that you just told Debbie she could get, but I want to pay 50% less. They're not going to sell you the window. Okay, so let's say now the window's exactly the same, so you would mm-hmm. spend the same money Debbie spent. Mm-hmm. Now the guy who's going to install it, uh-huh. you're going to say, I know Debbie got you to install it for $300, but I want to give you $100.
Oh, wow.
That may work, but let's not assume that's a standard that's going to be carried across.
And let's not assume that that person is going to install it properly so that it will be hurricane.
I don't know. So
proof. And also, are they going to caulk and seal it properly to make sure water doesn't?
That's what
people don't think about.
So this is why you have to be mm-hmm. careful when someone tells you, I could build the same thing mm-hmm. this much cheaper. Because I often ask, what are they taking away mm-hmm. to get it that much cheaper? They have to take away something.
Well, you probably would. It would be hurricane proof. We'll use that word, but mm-hmm. it'll only be for category one,
or whatever. Right?
And it won't have the argon glass in it.
But it
argon
be the same
in the glass.
Thing
as yours,
then.
No.
So that
it may look the same,
similar, but it won't be the same.
Correct.
And that's where I often find the consumer is less educated as they need to about things. For example, Debbie, now, you know, we've been in space a while. You could go to any of our lumber store and you say, I want to build a stair. Oh, you could build your stair with poplar, and it looks like the oak. Mm-hmm. You could build it with oak, mm-hmm. and it looks like mahogany. Mm-hmm. And let's agree.
Yeah.
The cost between a poplar stair, an oak stair, and a mahogany stair are three different costs
totally
entirely.
Different creatures.
So when you go in someone's house, say, oh, I want a stair just like that. And I say, no. When you say just like that, my stair is mahogany. You want to spend the money on the mahogany? Yes. Now, if you say yes, you have to use mahogany. But if you decided you want to go poplar and make it look similar, because poplar won't stain the exact same way.
No,
the mahogany
poplar's
stain.
Got that grayish
of
color
course.
To it.
Again, mm-hmm. so you're going to say, I want the exact same thing, or I want something similar.
Right.
And that's where we have to really question not only the consumer and what they think they want, and the person who's agreeing to do this work for you. Mm-hmm. If I say I want one of my sponsors, Sherwin-Williams paint, or similar. Now, this is where it comes to question. What is similar to that paint? You have to go into specs. Because colors could be similar.
Right.
But the quality. How Absolutely. Where are you matching the quality or similar?
Correct.
And so when architects specs a paint or similar, they ask for what? Technical data. They don't say,
Correct. Yes,
give me a color that matches. No, no, no. They say, submit to me the data sheets, and I will approve whether the paint is similar
right.
to the one that I specified. It's very technical.
You know, what bothers me as well is, you know, I've been building for 40-something years. You've been building for, what, 20-something?
20-something, yeah.
Yeah, 20-something years. So you, And again, people could say, well, it doesn't matter how many years you've done it. You might still not know anything, right?
Of course. That's always an
argument. When you're doing a job and they're asking you to use products that you would never use, and you tell them no, and then you tell them why, and they say, well, no, that's what I want.
And that's what I want.
But I didn't quote for that. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why I don't use that particular product, because over 40-something years, I have found that the issues with that are A, B, C, and D. And I'll have to, if you insist, I'll have to give you a disclaimer. But why would you want to do, you know, if you are, let's say you're a doctor and you come to me and I'm, you know, we're having this discussion. I can't be a doctor. So I would never question you. I would never say to you, well, I don't want you to stitch it up this way. I want you to stitch it up that way if that I'm way. Having stitches done or something, right? I would never do that. I would assume that that person who's a doctor has the experience to be able to guide me in the correct way with whatever it is that I need to do. And I really wish a lot of customers out there would actually have the respect with the time and the amount of work that we've done that we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
If some people will say, well, I went and looked at what you're saying, but I don't like it. Well, that's not a legitimate excuse or reason. I don't like it doesn't mean anything.
No.
You know?
But it's construction is personal.
So it is.
Here's where.
On our end, too, though.
Very
because
personal.
At the end of the day, it's our name on it.
Exactly. So here's where I had a difficult conversations with a former client. I said, the base building, that's stuff that the sand, cement, block, plaster, that's the standard stuff.
Right.
That's not subject to any preference.
Right.
Now, I had a list of all the things that they had to choose. They took exception. They took exception. I said, why would you take exception? I didn't expect to have all this work to do. I said, ma'am, this is your house. I don't live there.
Right.
So you get to choose your doorknobs. Mm-hmm. You get to choose your hinges. Mm-hmm. You get to choose your toilets, your faucets, your sinks. Everything that isn't base of the construction, you choose. You know why? Because if I choose it based on what I think and my thought process isn't in line with what you want, we're going to have a disconnect.
Correct.
So I don't like to, I give you a list. It's exhaustive.
Right.
You choose all the things you want, and I would provide the cost for them and say, this is your selection. Now, when I did that, and it came up to, based on everything they chose, Kohler this, stainless steel this, MTEC hardware, what is this? This is your choices.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't want it to cost that much. Well, then you'd have to make other choices. Mm-hmm. See, so, and I make this story, again, I keep just saying, there's that vehicle place on Wolf Road that's, had some very nice vehicles on it. I know how much they cost. That's the reason why I don't drive one. But if the person wants that, they can go there and pay for what they want.
Absolutely.
That's the same thing with your house.
Right.
I'm not choosing for you your hardware, your trims, your fixtures. I'm not doing them. The recessed lights, yes, that's base building stuff. That hanging chandelier?
Yeah, no.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
You get to choose.
Yeah.
Outside decorative light. You get to choose what
I would
is.
Always have clients choose their own light fixtures because...
I don't know what you would like.
Especially in a house, you know.
And
a commercial project is different.
Debbie, I find it alarming when people tell me, oh, my contractor does that. I say, well, how is your contractor know what your choices are?
Right.
Did you have a conversation? No, he can choose them. Well. Oh, he can choose them. So your contractor knows you intimately enough to choose your lighting...
I'm so fussy. I could never do that.
And I get nervous when I hear contractors say, but that's what they do all the time.
Wow.
See, I step away from putting myself into a client's choosing space because that's their home. The same reason why I deliberately chose everything in mine. I would think that's what a client would like to do for theirs.
Yeah.
I could have decided I wanted a poplar stair. I chose... Oak, because oak is between the mahogany and the poplar, but oak stains really nice, right?
Yeah.
Poplar really doesn't, it's kind of grayish green. It doesn't stain well.
Not well.
Mahogany looks fantastic. I can't afford mahogany. There's some choices you just make.
So we just used 2x10s, and it was fur, but we...
I like fur.
AI like first too. But what we did is I did them a dark chocolate brown, like the dark. And my risers are plywood in behind, but they're mirrored in the front. Because my front entry was small, it wasn't getting enough light. So I decided
Mirrors on your risers?
On my risers. Oh, actually, it looks beautiful.
Cool. Yeah,
it looks beautiful.
So that's choices. Now, I tell people if you're going to be mindful of budget, I give you selections. I help you with that. I say, okay, this is considered builder spec. I mean, you could go out to any of the lumber suppliers and get these kind of 3x4 hinges, and they're going to be in either nickel finish. When you want to notch it up and you want your house to really stand out, you're going to go into, you know, the custom suppliers of hardware, you know, and then you can start choosing brands. And that's customizing your home. Yeah. And not everyone can either afford it or want it.
Like
what I believe is as a builder, don't get in that space.
Yeah.
Let them choose it, Debbie. And I know you're one of those persons that you want to know exactly what someone wants. So you could give them the price for what they want.
Right. Because otherwise, I'm giving them a quote, and I'm telling them exactly what I'm going to do and what I'm going to use, right? You know, so that's and if you accept it, then that's it.
That's it.
But don't get halfway through the job or almost to the end of the job and say, I didn't want that. You know, that doesn't help at all.
No, exactly. You know, now, and I tell people that you'll find out the true, what people really care about, in residential construction. See, in commercial construction.
Kitchens and bathrooms.
Yeah. People don't care. Debbie, you do offices all day. Not one time does someone come and complain that the baseboard in their office is not what they desired. In their house, that matters.
Yeah.
Not one time someone can talk about the cubicle space. I really thought the cubicles would have been a better color of green or pewter or whatever it is. Now you're never going to have those conversations. Commercial. Yeah. When you go into people's houses now and you paint their bedrooms, their closets, all of a sudden the bathrooms, they're very emotional about their space.
Yeah.
Don't make decisions for people in their space. That's rule number one for me.
Yeah.
Now, another thing about construction that I find in the Bahamas and mostly what we look at too much is that we repeat the wrong things.
Yes.
We repeat the wrong things. We don't take the time to find out how would the right thing happen. For example, and I had this conversation before, and I went into the developer's office, had this conversation again, and then I see on Facebook people doing the same thing that they claim they don't do on their projects. Again, what we said inside our board group of the house that was going up for construction. What are the columns and the tie beams? And the block should have been all grouted and should have had. I understand the system they should have been using. Clearly, the contractor did not. But the contractor is working for a developer who's very popular in this country. Someone needs to quality control that. Because when it comes back to bite, the contractor is not the person who's going to suffer the liability. The brand will.
The brand will?
The brand will.
Oh.
The brand will. Okay, let's just give an example. If you buy a sandwich from one of our popular eateries here in the Bahamas, and there's a worm in it. The person who served it you is not going to get the liability suit. Who is?
That's true.
The brand.
Oh, you mean so that the person, the building company that is doing all of the houses.
Two things. Reputational damage, which is very costly.
Yes.
Because another person hearing about that, I don't want you building my stuff anymore. The contractors who work for branded development companies, nobody knows who they are. Because you didn't contract with that contractor. You contracted with the developer.
The owner,
For example, let's make it national. Every homeowner who buys a home through the Department of Housing, them and the Department of Housing have a contract.
Right.
The Department of Housing and the contractor has a contract. So when something goes wrong, the homeowner is going to the Department of Housing and saying, something's wrong with my house. They don't even have the contractor's number. Because they don't have a contract with the contractor. Right. They have a contract with the Department of Housing for this house, and I'm going to pay you X amount a month, and I want this house to be nice. That's the agreement. Something goes wrong, they come back and say, hey, I bought something from you, fix it. Now the Department of Housing has to go back to the contractor and say, hey, brother, what's going on? Where's my house?
But you've got so many people involved instead of just, you know, doing it all either everybody should be on the same page with the house.
Well, that's one way of doing it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that there's necessarily something wrong with that agreement if you manage it. Mm-hmm. The challenge is, and which was discovered when we had this first run of large building of residential homes through the Department of Housing, it was not properly managed. So much so, there are houses that the monies were paid out 100% for, and there was no house there. That's so terrible, the lack of management. This is Leonard Sands. I'm not making this up. This is all reported information. It's in the newspapers. It's documented. It's files. The last iteration of this would have been probably 2012, because it was before 2017. 2012. Oh, okay. It was so terrible that there were subdivisions where there was monies exhausted, the whole completed value of the project issued to the contractor. And there, when they went to the lot, nothing was there. That's how poorly it was managed. Now, I say all that to say, not that that's happening now, but if you manage the process, you get eyes on something was either going right or wrong, and you could step in and intervene.
Correct.
And I pulled that back to the conversation, what I saw happening, or the bill that I saw happening with a private developer of residential homes, mm-hmm. where the construction is not meeting the standard, the code that they should be, mm-hmm. and is going on.
Right.
Again, the liability will fall on the developer of that, who the client has an agreement with, because the client thinks that developer and their people are building that. And the reality is it was subcontracted out
right.
to another individual under the brand, and they're doing it. But
right.
you have to protect it. Wow. That's why you're on the job site, Debbie. You're protecting your brand. That's why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why contractors are there. You protect your brand.
And the client as well, because what I like to do is make sure that the subs are doing exactly what I want and what I need and what is best for the client,
mm-hmm.
right? Rather than I don't have to watch, and then whatever they get, they get.
They get,
but
exactly.
I know that doesn't. That's not me, and that's not you either.
No, so you have to protect your brand. So
yeah.
part of construction is personal.
Mm-hmm.
Part of construction is relational, and mm-hmm. part of construction is business. And this is where I like us for the course that we just had.
Mm-hmm.
We just completed the level one contractor certification course in Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about business.
Yeah.
The business is construction.
Right.
Because I think that's the future of construction. Construction moves away from being a craft into the business. And when you start behaving like a business, you do things more business-like. For example, I don't want to hear contractors doing work without contracts. That's not business-like.
No.
That's the first thing. That's not business-like.
Right. You know what makes us different and why we have so many issues is... All right, so I'm going to use Canada again. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
but okay. So if you're in Canada,
mm-hmm.
very few people, except for the wealthy,
mm-hmm.
build their own homes. They buy from developers.
That's
or
already,
the,
yes.
Very, very, I don't know any of my friends who ever
built their own custom home.
Built their own custom home.
They bought
here,
a home.
We basically build all custom homes, except for we're not licensed, number one. We are not trained before we start building.
No.
And then what ends up happening is we end up with inferior work and inferior quality of work. And that's because it hasn't been put together. It's just, listen, this is a way for everybody to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, you were a fisherman, you were a taxi driver, mm-hmm. and now you can be a contractor.
And or.
Uh-huh.
Maybe hindsight being 2020.
Mm-hmm.
This was a new country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, we didn't train contractors. So mm-hmm. the fastest way to get critical mass in the housing sector is to allow people to build their own homes.
Right.
So the only caveat to that, the protections that they have inside other countries is that
mm-hmm.
there's training available. So if I wanted to become a mechanic in Canada or in the United States, I could go to a place and they'll teach me how to be a very good mechanic.
Right, and you wouldn't be able to work unless you had a proper license.
Exactly.
Yes.
But even if I didn't want to sell out that service to anyone, I just want to be a good mechanic for me to do my own repairs on my car.
Correct.
You could go to somewhere and get trained enough to do your own servicing,
mm-hmm.
change, or do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because
community colleges.
Right.
Do that.
And outside of community colleges, technical spaces where you could go and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because they still know the value in you learning something that you could use. That's a TYI skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, where do you go to learn constructing a home? That's the question.
Everybody thinks they can do it on DIY.
We're 52-year-old as a country. Mm-hmm. There's no place where you get trained in how to build a home. No. Now, I say when it's a no place, okay, let's be very honest. Mm-hmm. B2BI does have a carpentry course that teaches the basic elements of of construction, which includes erecting a home. Limitedly. So I just want to put the caveat there.
Right.
But compared to other countries, you could go and do a course in residential home construction and learn how to lay it out, frame it up, because most of the time they're not doing block work anyway. Frame it up, put on your roof, sheet it, side it, insulate it, sheetrock it, hang the doors, tile it. They could teach you literally the entire thing in North America, Canada, and places that,
England,
that are so
whatever,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're a little bit different.
You know, I was going to say something. Oh, I know. So back in the day, this is when dinosaurs roamed the earth and I started building. You know, there was a lot of good carpentry shops, workshops, like what's it, on Hay Street, Solomon Adderley, right? That was trained by British persons that came to do work here, right? Trained by them, and what they ended up doing was also training other persons because that's how they understood that the business should be. So that he shouldn't have to be the one always there doing the work. The persons that he has that he's training would do that
His
work.
Apprentices.
So we, yes, we had that, but I don't see that anymore.
Not so much.
No.
Not so much. And for established companies, they are trying, but it's going to slow. It's going to take a slow, gradual push to get back to where we are.
Yeah.
But I believe there is a restart of it
Through
the National Apprenticeship Program and our involvement in it, and our member companies. I know ISD has taken on some of the candidates from that program. Trustco has. ARM, Caribbean has, and another couple of vendors already has taken on individuals. So we're trying to bring them back. We got a text message coming in. Texa asks, what do you think of PVC tongue and groove sealing and moldings? Now, I like anything that does not deteriorate. I like it.
And need painting.
Exactly.
But for outside, I think.
But for outside, of course. Yeah. But now let me give you the limitations now. You will not have this. Now, again, they're great and you use them all kind of instances. I'm a big fan of PC fencing.
When I built a house, an actual house, I used it for my T&G on the outside for the boxing
because
I don't use plywood, and then I would use the PVC also like wood fascia board.
Fascia board, same thing with me.
Yes.
But just know, now when it comes to an interior application, you don't have the beauty of wood. So if you're just going to paint it white, it doesn't matter what the material is. It's going to be painted. It's not going to rot. It's going to be there forever. All right, fine. But if you want to bring out the textures in wood, obviously only wood could have the staining qualities
of it. Or pickle something.
Or pickle something. Yeah. You can't pickle PVC. No. That'd be very weird. So I like it.
You have to reverse pickle it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like it as a good product for its application. If you want it to last forever, really, really good. But just know it doesn't look like wood if you're not going to paint it. If you're going to paint it, you won't tell the difference. If you're not going to paint it, or you're going to pickle or stain it, obviously the limitations with that product is there.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, let me ask you a question. We don't talk about as much over here. We've moved away from doing things we used to do back in the day. My house I grew up in had a crawl space underneath it. I know inside Canada there are basements and or, you know, semi-living or garage spaces.
Split levels.
Split levels in the ground.
I like the crawl space because what happens with that is the wind is able to actually go underneath and keep your house cooler. That's the whole purpose of doing
it. And the crawl spaces, And do you think there is an application that makes that valuable to consider today?
Yes, because with climate change, we're going to have to start doing pier and pad homes because we're not going to be able to build on the ground any longer. First of all, we're also running out of fill and all this
kind
of stuff. I mean, we are.
We are.
We are. And so I think the pier and pad is going to be the way of the future. And that way you could do it just crawl space height or you could do it high enough.
I like
it could be It could be a garage if you wanted to and have your laundry room and all that kind of stuff
And they
in
used
there.
To do it back in the day like that too.
And you could blow out so that in a hurricane, if there's anything there, that would blow out and the rest of the house would be fine. So we will. I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
What I liked about it that we do not have the advantage of today. You
is
know what you also
your, fixing
get?
Fixing your plumbing.
Yes, I just got, you know the advantage you have?
Yes.
The plumbing.
Yes.
It's just underneath the floor slab.
Yes, yes.
And you could crawl under there.
Yes.
And there's a leak or there's a block.
You don't have to jackhammer the floor.
Cut the pipe, fix. You could always access the plumbing.
Oh, my God,
and I just remember going to my grandmother's house, and we used to go into the, under the porch and underneath the main house and play. And we used to always see the plumbing. We never take notice of it.
Right.
Yeah, you could always access the plumbing.
Oh, my God, it's so much easier.
Now, you jackhammer the floor up to trace where the plumbing line may be. That is not fun.
Because they always say, a client will say to you, well, you have to mark on exactly where it is on the plan so that I know later on.
It never is going to go there.
Nobody does that.
Nobody
and if they do,
that.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. You know? So you're still. So that's one of the things we lost with our improvement of now blocking up the whole foundation, backfilling it, trenching for our plumbing, stubbing up to the slab only. But when we had crawl spaces, you could always access the plumbing.
Right. And you always had, your house was always cooler.
Yeah. And your house
always
was always cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still do some of that crawl space homes in Abaco.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess other areas where they realize that there's going to be a lot of water in, because if you don't have it blocked, water just passes through, dries out, it's gone again. So I think some things we used to do, we need to revisit.
I think so.
Okay.
We need to do a list
of some things with good ideas.
When we come back, we need to send... Let the persons hear the testimonial.
Yeah, we had testimony after break. So we got the music coming on. We go to our first commercial break, and we'll be back right after this.
We started StormFrame Windows in 1999. We wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside,
I see the sunshine, I see a new day,
and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I know just what to do, go to the paint place.
So if you want to paint it right the first time, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place.
And if you want it to last a lifetime, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our family island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
Why they sick this world and crack and they just build this house?
Pay now, pay more later.
Yeah, world crack up. Because I rot in steel.
I guarantee with fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. Get the sand of the use of salt in it. And then over time you start to rotten. And just like a flower ball crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal.
Fiberiba is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
Customer service can be a little struggly sometimes in our beautiful Bahama land. But let Dee Dee and Shelley tell you about how Sherwin-Williams does customer service.
It's not only better in the Bahamas for the tourists, you know. Seeing where I would treat the tourists that come here, the same way I treat my Bahamian customers. And I service them with a bright smile. I just love working for Sherwin-Williams. If I can make any customer happy in any wish way, I'll do it every day. Customers is the love of my life. Okay.
Sherwin-Williams Paints. Find color in every day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back to Garden 96.9 FM with the station. Nailed it. And Debbie's going to take it away.
Yeah, I'm going to take it away. I'm going to read off to you our sponsors for the show today. And again, Leonard mentioned in the very beginning that this is the Bahamian Contractors Association show. And we are grateful for the sponsors that actually help us keep this show alive, because we get calls and emails all the time saying how great the show is and how much they've learned and all that kind of stuff. You know, you get the odd one that is not, you know, may have something of an issue, but they, you know, once you talk with them and you explain what we're doing, then they go, I didn't know that, right? And then it all washes out, you know? Yeah. So anyway, we have ART Development, and I'm going to, now that I know that's the first three, the initials of his three children, I'd like you guys to know what this company actually does.
Yes.
This is the company that actually brings to the Bahamas fiberglass rebar. Okay, so this is will help stop all of your rusted steel and cracks in the wall. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions. We have CBS Bahamas. We have Engineering and Technical Services, which is ETS. Thank you, Lambert Knowles, for that. The Paint Place, Stone Oak Bahamas, and Sherwin-Williams. Yes. So thank you so much, everyone, for supporting us and keeping this show on the air.
So we're continuing this conversation, Debbie. Now, Debbie had something very cool to share with our listening audience.
Oh.
You want to pull up that voice note? And again, I'm going to kind of give the preamble to this voice note. We had a wonderful, wonderful training session in South Eleuthera last week, the 26th through the 28th. Fantastic learning. Thank you to our partners, Veritas Consultants Limited, for delivering the training on behalf of the BCA, and all the participants that had a fantastic time learning and getting certified in construction. So, Debbie, you want to take it away?
Yes. Hang on a second.
Hi, Debbie. Sorry, just getting back to you. Yes, the course over the weekend was really good. I've learned a lot, and a lot of stuff I wasn't aware of, I am now aware of. And I thought the classes was really good. Unfortunately, when I got back, I got the flu, and I didn't have until 7 o'clock Monday to complete the exams. I did the exams, and I passed, but it was rough, because for me, for doing exams, I was sick really, really bad. But I really appreciate it. I learned a lot, and I think it's a good thing you guys are doing. And I want to join the association.
Awesome. So, again, that's a testimonial from one of the participants in the course. and impress upon him so the much the amount of information, the learning, the knowledge that he gained, that he now wants to be a member of the BCA. And that's all we try to do. We try to share as much as possible education about construction to make people better at what they do.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't hurt anyone. That helps everyone. Mm-hmm. When you got more artisans and craftsmen and professionals in construction doing that work.
Right. I think we need to, maybe this summer or something, we need to do the course here again in Nassau.
Yeah.
Because we had so many people that afterwards, after the first
wanted
one,
wanted to take
which
the
we
course
had
here.
60 people yeah. come to, they said, oh gosh, we wanted to be a part of it. So now I think we should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got to reach out to our training partners again, get our schedule together, and then do it.
Yeah.
And then we have to figure out a way to get on our second island that we had promised, which is Island Abaco.
Oh, yes.
And that's going to be a major project. And we probably got to see if we could get that for the third quarter. I think
could
the second
be.
Quarter
yeah.
is going to be too early for that.
Yes.
But I think it gives us enough time we could get it pulled together for
yes,
the third quarter.
I think so.
You got friends there. And you got one of, who else is there?
Well, Ken Hutton.
Okay,
and,
yeah, Ken's there.
And what's the other guy? The guy from Tropical.
Yeah.
God, I know him from rugby.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name right now.
Okay.
But I'll remember.
So you got some friends there.
I'll remember it in the middle of the night,
yeah.
then I'm going to have to call and everybody
also,
and tell them.
Our friends in the Chamber of Commerce down there, and they could help us, the Abaco Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so once we partner with the right people, we mm-hmm. can be able to pull it off. Because again, that's a lot of construction is going on there as well.
Yes, a lot.
And so the persons there need to be trained up. In knowledge base, and we encourage persons to do so. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to things that we love about construction, and we haven't had anyone call and talk about what construction means to them. And if a young person is listening, tell us what construction means to you. Because I think we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. We hear the government of the Bahamas talk about this $300 million investment. They talk about this hospital project. They talk about this infrastructure project. We talk about the road project, they talk about this and that. All that is construction. All
yeah,
they're talking about is construction.
But they never relate it to construction.
But all this money they're talking about, the infrastructure budget of the country mm-hmm. is literally bigger than all the other ministries together.
Yeah.
When you look at the budget, look at what they plan to do, mm-hmm. that's in construction. That's all infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Talk about when they education budget, new school. That's construction. When they go to the Ministry of Health, new clinics, new hospitals, that's construction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When they talk with Ministry of Transport and Aviation, airstrips, mm-hmm. airports,
yeah.
construction.
Mm-hmm.
Water and sewage, construction. The entire budget is
fishing,
construction.
Yeah, fishing and fisheries
docks. Fisheries
and docks,
construction.
Mm-hmm.
The entire budget is construction.
Yeah.
That's why it means so much to all of us.
Yep.
So much of this country relies on the craftsmen and the people who work in that space. It's all construction.
Well, I've been listening to the other parties talking on the radio, and not one of them has mentioned anything about helping us get the board in place.
No.
So,
it's
only important to us.
It's disappointing.
Apparently. It's very disappointing.
It's like the political thing to say. It's unfortunate.
It is. Oh, yeah, you got to use the right words.
Yes, it's unfortunate.
Okay. See, you could go into politics. You got the right words.
Don't tempt me. Do not tempt me. But no, on a serious note, mm-hmm. I think our job continues to be to bring awareness to it. To help persons understand that it's not just Debbie and I and a bunch of other persons just who builders and we just like that part of construction. Construction is everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call. Let's take this call.
Okay.
Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, pleasant good evening to you, Mr. Sands, and to Ms. Teal.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I wanted to ask you, I know you heard you all when you were talking about I'm not in the construction field, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you mentioned the fact that there was a board and there was a registrar,
mm-hmm.
right, who was being paid
mm-hmm.
and has been paid, being paid for
5 years,
mm-hmm. 10 years. Now, I just want to know what has that person? What are they being paid for?
Absolutely nothing.
And they don't have that integrity.
It's part of the act.
Like Perry Christie to send the money back and say, I will, when you get this board in place, because according to you, that's like almost over $4,000 a month. that you are getting for doing nothing that you've gotten for the last 10 years, that's almost $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no conscience?
Well, I can't blame the persons who got appointed, because remember now, they didn't apply for the job. Their appointment came by instrument, statutory appointment, and they just received a letter saying, you have been appointed as the contractor's registrar. Okay, great. You get an office. And then, unfortunately, now, let me, and I don't hold brief for the person, but I do know the individual, and I can say it isn't her fault. So she's in the Ministry of Public Works. She does not have a job description outside of the act saying what her job is. But now, what I imagine happens is from time to time, she's invited to attend meetings and discussions and what's not, wherever I guess the ministry or the minister may need her presence. But you ask the question, what is she doing? Her job is to keep the registrar of contractors. That is the job by appointment. There is no registrar of contractors. So essentially, she has nothing to do. She's getting paid, but she does not have anything to do.
Mrs. Science, I don't want to really talk about this, but I mean, I just think because Mr. Thompson, he's also the commissioner for the FOIA thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's being paid and he's ready to work and whatnot, but what he needs to, there's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you know that these monies are monies from the public,
mm-hmm,
and there
mm-hmm.
ought to be accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if I am not producing, if I'm not getting, not because it's government money means it's free money, somebody has to pay for that.
I agree.
And I will not just take it just because, you know, child, you know, that's government, you ain't got to worry about that. You know, and that's to me, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. You should have a conscience to say, you know what? Until you get your board and everything, and I can do and I can produce, you know, take a lesson from Les Brown, man. And you know, my mother didn't teach me like that.
Mm-hmm.
They teach me to work for what I want, and you know, don't just take it just because.
But they did actually follow the rule of the law, and the law was that
to appoint the registrar.
So yeah, it's amazing the amount of money even
yeah.
in our own life that yeah. we bleed. You
Thank
know what
you,
I mean?
Carla. Thank you, Carla.
Yeah,
yeah.
Money that we bleed.
And again, it's a sore point for us, and
mm-hmm.
I do appreciate the passion
and
too. The position that the caller has. Because we don't misunderstand our calm. We feel the same way,
mm-hmm.
But we recognize that there is just. I want to say this carefully so I don't misguide where people are thinking. I believe simply this, that we are too selective in following the laws of this country. And you can't
yeah,
be selective
no, no,
about
true.
It. Because when you start to be selective about it, then you get in a dangerous category because
mm-hmm.
then you teach people to be selective as well.
Yeah.
And so if you're selective in following the law that says you need to appoint a board to manage construction, put a constitutional, duly appointed parliament that passed a law and enacted the law, and you say, well, that's not important, but a part of that enactment, you appoint the registrar, which came from the same law, like how do you reconcile that? And then I find it interesting that the Attorney General could come on the TV yesterday and have the whole talk about what the judgment meant and why they're following the law and all. All of that, they could do all of that when every single week we sit on this radio and remind them of the law that this administration passed in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Not another administration.
No.
This administration passed.
Same person.
And the minister.
Different.
You understand
yeah.
me? Not
mm-hmm.
a prime. You caused this to be.
Yeah.
Now, you could uncause it to be, you know, but go back in Parliament and repeal the law.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in Parliament and say, you know what? This was a bad idea. We didn't want this, you know, and we could. You have to do that. But until you do that,
mm-hmm.
the law stands mm-hmm. as what we follow.
Yeah.
So when we talk about things and we engage, we tell them what the law says. I don't tell them what I wish to happen. I tell them what the law says in relation to construction. It's not my opinion on it. It's not Debbie's opinion on it.
No.
It's what the Construction Contractors Act says we should be doing. And it speaks to everyone's role and responsibility. So the government of Bahamas is found wanting in that regard. We got another caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Hello, good night.
Good night. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I want to know if it's like against the law to like you're doing carpentry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you build them. Is it against the law to preserve wood and bring wood and steel on here?
No, it's no law that dictates how to build any kind of finished material, whether it's cabinets, whether it's furniture, because the law would not go down that far in millwork to say how you should do it. That's means and method of the contractor.
I'm going beyond millwork now.
Okay.
Is it illegal to build, like you say, if I want to build like a wooden structure without using nails?
An entirely wooden structure without nails? Now,
is
subject to the Bahamas Building Code.
So is that liquid nails? Is that what you're using to put it together?
Without nails.
No, but, I mean, if you want to use liquid nails.
No, man, I'm talking real building, man. I'm talking liquid.
Oh, you mean, okay, mortar and all that. Okay.
But you're saying, okay, so give us more details. What are you constructing without nails?
Like, if you high-tech, like I'm talking about, if you build, like, furniture, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To build a home, if you're building a home in the same aspect of one building, like furniture, and furniture is more refined than building a home,
mm-hmm.
or building, you know, it's more mm-hmm. refined than like building a home and like a wooden home. If you're building this home, you ain't really got to put no nail in it, because if you know what you're doing, you could just dowel up everything and get everything right.
No, of course. Of course. You don't have to use nails.
My question is the building and the building code, if I want to build, like, say, a wooden structure,
mm-hmm.
and I'm using, like,
tongue and groove and dowels and dovetails,
right?
Yeah.
And on the right size dowel per, mm-hmm. per size wood, and, you know, to put the structure together, I mean, like, would it be illegal? I mean,
you would have to actually have your architect draw the plan, and it would have to have all the specifics as to how you were going to do it. And then it would go to the
the
24.
An architect. What's all? I'm a builder.
Right? It doesn't matter if you're a builder. If you're going to submit a plan to the Ministry of Works to be approved, you're going to have it done by an architect, and you're going to have an engineer inspect it, because that's law.
Yeah, but hold on. I've been building for my child, right? And I tell you no lie. My uncles, all of them are builders. My grandfather, all of them. I come from builders, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm telling you that, I mean, like, so, if you're building and to put, I mean, I tell you all that, right? I do they do all kind of like different furniture, whatever I want to build. And mm-hmm. you know, I tell you the honest truth, right? In my mind, I analyze it, the whole aspect of what I do, right? And you know what? I'd be like, okay, I work everything in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, hold on, man, I would draw this. This is more weight for me. I build this. And you know what? No, honestly, man,
mm-hmm.
I tell you the truth.
But
because I can draw that. I did architectural drawing.
I understand what you're saying, Carla.
The architect teacher, he got angry with me because I wasn't into architecture, but I was one of the best students. I was into photography. You know, I walk around with mm-hmm. camera. You see what I'm saying?
What I wanted to just say, what Debbie's saying is that you're not incorrect in what you're saying. However, what you intend to do is still governed by the Bahamas Building Code, and which means if you want a permit for whatever you want to build, now granted, you can need to have a plan. You can need to submit it. It has to get approved. And once it's approved, you could build it with no nails, with dovetail joints, but you got to show that.
Right?
Yeah.
I know that, right? But you know what? I tell you no lie, right? That ain't gonna never stop me in my mind.
No, of course.
Creativity in the mind.
No, man.
Paper ain't gonna slow me down.
And if you want to build it, I think I'm in the back of your house, what you used to have for your kids, a dollhouse, and you want to do it all joints and no, well, you don't have to submit a building plan for that.
Let me say something. I tell you the honest truth, right? Like, when we first started building everything, right? It's like, it was, my mind was perplexed when it came, like, to the algebra aspect of it, mm-hmm. right? Like to convert like feet to inches and the mass mm-hmm. and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I tell you no lie. I'm perplexed from my growing up, right? But I tell you no lie, right? I take my sphere and I beat that. You know what I did? I got the ruler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the inch, right? I take the inch, right? And you know, in carpentry, we can up to about 30 seconds of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, you're going into basically machinery.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we take 32 and divide it into 1 inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you put that in the decimals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a foot, and you do the same thing. And you take the foot and take it into 30-second increments, or you can do it in 1/8 increments or 1/4 increments,
mm-hmm.
right? And you would get these decimals from 0 to 12 inches
mm-hmm.
to represent the foot. And on the inch aspect, you would get like from 0 to 1 inch.
Mm-hmm.
After 30 seconds, if you're doing 30 seconds, but within that parameter, you'll be able to pick any one, let's say, increment to
decimate,
whatever you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
To be, I'm talking about this micro kind of way. But I don't think anyone really doing that unless they're going to be calculating and this and that. But I think to understand what's really happening, like in your head,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the best thing that ever happened, man.
I agree with you. And caller, really thank you and appreciate you for your call and your insight, and mm-hmm. certainly hope that you try your project without using nails in the back of your yard, but do not try to apply that outside of that space because you may have to consult the person from the Ministry of Public Works. But thank you for your call. That was a very interesting call.
Yeah. we talked about Solomon Adderley. That's what Solomon Adderley used to do,
mm-hmm.
was find home building and mm-hmm. furnitures and shutters and mm-hmm. windows, the push up and down windows, Lewis, and all that kind of
Solomon
stuff.
Solomon did Louis for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I actually went to his wood shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you see that he's missing a number of fingers?
I did. those tools are not to be played around with.
No.
Yeah. And that's the part of, I think that's the part of a human society that young persons are missing.
Mm-hmm.
I could remember going to a wood shop with my dad, to a mill workshop,
mm-hmm.
to a Tony's Cabinetry back in the day,
mm-hmm.
To a lot of the craft spaces that did custom joinery.
Right.
We have very few spaces
very few.
That you could walk around with your grandkids and mm-hmm. introduce them to carpentry
and a
mill workshop. Or when you want to get, remember, we used to turn on balustrades. And mm-hmm. we very few spaces. Everything now is made.
Yeah.
So we think you get everything from the lumber suppliers. We were in the time, we made those things. So I think we benefited from some craftsmanship that unfortunately today
you don't
have available.
Probably it's a lot less expensive
to
do
it
now, but it's just,
But the custom end of it is always going to be beautiful.
It's
work.
Always when you see a piece of furniture
yeah.
and you go at somebody's house and all you want to do is touch it.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because it's done so well.
Yeah. So the craftsmanship is the art in construction. And,
yes.
And that's what it, and I thank the person for calling in and adding to this conversation, because this is what we talk about, you know, the art of construction, the craftsmanship, the business of
right.
it.
That's how you started off the show today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how you make it work. So this is
like
is
when
passion.
You went to New Orleans, right?
Oh, yeah.
You want, and I would love to go to New Orleans just to see the
building,
architecture.
Just buildings.
Yes.
In my phone, I have pictures of buildings, building,
mm-hmm.
building, buildings,
yeah.
into China, building. Wherever I go, it's the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's buildings to me are evidence of man's creativity
mm-hmm.
to house humanity. That's what buildings are.
Mm-hmm.
And we find incredible, interesting ways to depict that. And it changes from landscape, it changes
from country,
and changes from culture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a fantastic experience
yeah.
when you go and you visit and you see
it's very exciting.
How people do it and how creative they can be.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah. So, we're at the end of our show. Just like that.
No way.
Yeah, just like that.
I think Chris is messing with us.
No, time flies, but they say when you're having fun.
Yes.
So parting
always
shots,
having fun.
Parting words, Debbie.
Yeah. I just love the fact that there's so many aspects of construction
mm-hmm.
that you could never not have a topic to talk about with construction.
Never.
Right?
Never.
And it's not always the whole home, the caller just basically talked about,
mm-hmm.
the furniture, the doors,
mm-hmm.
right? The things that he actually built. So I love the fact that it's a never-ending subject.
No. And for me, I think next week, I'm going to do something special. I'm going to get a young person in the studio with
okay.
us. We're going to talk with the future of construction.
Okay.
From their vantage point.
All right. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah. So we can grab one of the students, either a BTVI or UB, who's an architecture engineering student. No, it's not. Let's have them talk about construction.
Because they're young. They have unlimited imagination.
Unlimited imagination.
It hasn't been beaten out of them yet.
They're going to tell us about moving houses and AI houses and all that stuff. Yeah. And we're going to learn some stuff.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that already.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't left yet. Ladies and gentlemen, we have had a fantastic time. And we're going to say thank you for listening again to Guardian 96.9 FM. I nailed it. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good night, everybody. Be safe.
A lifetime together. Now, baby, you and I, we don't regret anything. And now it's the two of us again.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. Not as if that easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine, I see a new day, and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I know just what to do, go to the paint place. So if you wanna paint it right the first time, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place. And if you want it to last a lifetime, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
And now a word from your local Sherwin-Williams Paints family.
We were taught that we must communicate with the customers so that we can give them the right product that they need, not just because you are make a sale. We make it a point to ask questions so that we can make your project that day effective. Do it right the first time.
That's the truth.
Because that's how we is.
That's how we is.
Not a joke.
No joke at all.
Sherwin-Williams Bahamas. Find color in every day.